the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Welcome to the Holy Ghost Lutheran Church radio broadcast. Today is November the 1st, 2020, and it is All Saints Weekend. And so today, our theme, of course, as we follow our fall sermon series, is Old Testament miracles, and we'll be looking at a resurrection story in the Old Testament, one in which Elisha raised a young man from the dead. This, of course, ties into our All Saints theme, as we will also remember those who passed on from our church family. We'll also have in heart and mind those members of our own families who are not necessarily members of Holy Ghost Lutheran Church, but nonetheless passed away in this last year or at any particular time during our lifetimes or beyond then as well. So today we will hear that story. We'll be reminded of the promises of God in Jesus Christ, who says he is the resurrection and the life. So may God guard us, guide us, and keep us as we hold to these promises. Amen. The order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may more perfectly love you and more worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us of all of our sins. As a minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I get to declare that our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all, and also with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for laying down your life for us so that we might have forgiveness of sins. We also thank you, Father, for raising up your Son, and in doing so, all who believe in him, who live and die in him, shall also share in his resurrection as well. So God, help us to hold true to these sure and certain hopes of the resurrection of the dead to eternal life. In Christ Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Our Bible reading today comes from the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. It is the story of Elisha raising a child from the dead. When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and closed the door on the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. Then he got up on the bed and lay upon the child, putting his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And while he lay bent over him, the flesh of the child became warm. He got down, walked once to and fro in the room, then got up again and bent over the child. The child then sneezed seven times, and he opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shuhamite woman." So he called her. When she came to him, he said, "Take your son." She came and fell at Elisha's feet, bowing to the ground. Then she took her son and left. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, Today we observe All Saints Weekend. We're remembering those who have lived and died in the faith. This theme ties, of course, into our fall sermon series on the Old Testament miracles as we reflect on the Bible story, the miracle of Elisha raising a boy from the dead. You know, death is something that we hardly embrace, right? I mean, who would want to? It separates us from loved ones, causes us heartache and pain. It's not something we normally celebrate as being in the win column. I guess that's why we call it a loss, loss and grief. There are those times, though, when suffering and illness have been prolonged and difficult, and death can be somewhat of a friend bringing relief. And that's because we as Christians can look at death through the lens of the resurrection. We trust that Jesus' promises are true when he proclaims that he is the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in him, though we die, yet shall we live, and whoever lives and believes in him will never die. So therefore, we believers understand death as a door, a portal to a perfect place we call heaven, to be with God and to be with fellow Christ followers eternally. Our Bible miracle story conveys two important truths on this day as we remember our past loved ones and friends, and as we even anticipate to some degree our own passing as well. Our own demise is something we certainly don't like to think about, but it inevitably will happen. And so maybe it could even happen sooner than we expect. Our church family experienced that this past week when two members passed away unexpectedly, one in his mid-30s, the other in her mid-40s. Therefore, what the Bible says about the end of the world also applies to the number of our days on this planet. When Jesus says, of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the Son, but only the Father. The Bible goes on to say that it will take us by surprise, like a thief in the night. So enough about the gloom and doom of death. What is today's Bible story? What does this Old Testament miracle of Elisha raising this child from the dead say to us as we think about the hope that we have beyond death, the hope of the resurrection? So we have three faith points today. First of all, this story testifies. It testifies to the power of Almighty God. That's first, the power of Almighty God. You see, verse 33 says, when Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in, closed the door on the two of them, and what did he do? He prayed to the Lord. You see, Elisha is a prophet of God, which means that he's a spokesperson for the Lord, a messenger from God, one who teaches and leads others in the way of faith. He's a tool for God, a spiritual agent, a conduit through which God works miracles. But hear this, he is only human, simply a man. So hear this, the story is clear. Any power to regenerate a dead body from his deathbed does not come from Elisha. Rather, the story says Elisha prayed to the Lord. So it's God's strength, that not our own works, that can do a miracle. I told a joke in a sermon way back in February, and it went really well at the 8 a.m. service, but it sort of bombed at the 10:30 service. I flubbed up the punchline, so it's applicable to today's theme, so I'm going to give it another try. This is a true story. It's told about Muhammad Ali, that late famous world heavyweight boxing champion. Ali boarded a plane, and as the stewardess made her way down the aisle doing her pre-flight checklist with all the passengers, she asked Ali to fasten his seatbelt. The champion sharply fired back, referring to himself in his self-inflated ego. Ali said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." to which the stewardess quickly quipped, "And Superman don't need no airplane either." So Ali buckled up. You see, it's not Elisha's ability to fly on his own with the superhuman thing that he's about to do. It's not in his wheelhouse to do the miraculous. It's not in his bandwidth to pack power over death. No, Elisha turns to God in prayer as his source of strength. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's in our grief and worry, in our needs and cries for hope, in our struggles and temptations, it's not our inner power, not our inner strength that carries us through the valleys and the shadows and the darknesses that we face. This power comes from God. The world in which we live and all our human influences preach to us to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, to man up, to put your big girl panties on, to suck up, buttercup. And there are certainly times when such mantras are appropriate. Yet when it comes to areas of certain weakness, defeat, being beat down, we Christians know that our source of strength does not come from within us. Rather, it's as Psalm 121 says, "I lift my eyes to the hills." I don't lift my eyes to myself. I lift my eyes instead to heaven and to the hill of the cross. And it says, from where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Yes, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us from God. And if God doesn't do the miracle of changing our situation, he most assuredly will do the miracle of changing our perspective about our situation. So faith point number one, this Old Testament miracle, this resurrection story testifies to the power of God, Almighty God, for us. Faith point number two, this Old Testament story tells us about the intimacy of death and resurrection. Death, though many times tragic, crushing, and unexpected as it can be, it can also be at times a very intimate occasion. I recall being present at my dad's passing some 5 years ago. There's no place on earth I would have rather been than by his side. And it was hard. It was very hard in the hospital with him for those 2-3 intense days. Things spiraled downward. He had had heart surgery, and things did not go well after. There was internal bleeding, blood pressure dropping, organ failure, COPD taking its toll from him being a smoker since the age of 14. It was hard. It was hard, but it was holy. A holy experience to be there, giving him support and courage, thanking him for being the provider dad that he was, softly singing some old hymns, reminding him of God's promises through Bible verses, saying goodbye to him. I guess the best way I can describe it is that it was really difficult, but so very intimate to be there when he exhaled for the final time. Some of you have been there. You possibly know what I'm referring to. I know Pastor David, Pastor Clint, Pastor Allen, Pastor Jan, myself, we've all been there with some of you in those harsh and grueling situations. But somehow, a strange closeness is experienced, even through the pain of the inevitable death. This Bible story describes in a very interesting way, an almost weird detail way, this intimacy. Hear it again. It reads, "Elisha got up on the bed and lay on the child, putting his mouth upon the boy's mouth, his eyes upon the boy's eyes, his hands upon the boy's hands. And while he lay bent over him, the flesh of the child became warm. Elisha got down, walked once to and fro in the room, then got up again and bent over him. The child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. These actions are a bit odd sounding, are they not? Mouth on mouth, maybe an early form of CPR, eyes on eyes, hands on hands. And when you think about it, you know, it's actually no more odd than when God the Father raised Jesus the Son from the dead. And then Jesus went around doing some intimate, sometimes some strange things with others as well. The story of when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, and he said to Thomas, "Touch me. Put your fingers in the holes of my hands. Put your hand in the spear wound of my side." Or the time Jesus walked and talked, he visited with others. He even ate meals with some and talked about his death and his resurrection. And then that other time when Jesus suddenly appeared to the disciples, the story said that he called upon them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He offered them a spiritual breath of the Holy Spirit, a recovery, a life-giving, after the wind had been knocked out of their sails after witnessing Jesus' brutal crucifixion. And I'm not sure going back to our Bible story for today of what all the things that Elisha did with the dead boy means, laying across him, the mouth, the eyes, the hands, the boy sneezing 7 times. I'm not sure exactly what all that signifies, but I do know this. I do know that it seems to be some sort of gesture of closeness, personal contact, relationship, not afraid to touch death, not afraid to look death eye to eye, not afraid to breathe on or breathe into the tragedy of death. There's something very intimate when it comes to death and what God has done for us, death and resurrection. In Jesus laying down his body, his life, his blood down for us so that we might live again, then being raised from the dead. Yes, faith point number 2, death and resurrection are intimate acts of God for us as broken people. And finally, faith point number 3, this miracle story serves as a foreshadow of our own death and resurrection. There are at least 10 accounts in the Bible in which people were raised from the dead. Elijah did one. Elisha, our story today, he actually raised 2. Jesus had 3. Peter and Paul each had 1. And of course, there was Jesus himself who was raised from the dead. There's also a very interesting account in Matthew 27 where it says many. Don't know how exactly many were, but many were lifted from their tombs on Good Friday when Christ died on the cross. You know, I got to thinking, as amazing as these resurrection stories are, if you read each and every one of them, all these people were blessed. They were blessed with the miracle of an earthly resurrection from the dead, all of them, with the exception of Jesus. Get this. All of them, with the exception of Jesus, had to die again. I think about Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus after being in the tomb 4 days. Family and friends, had to be joyous. They got to live another 2, 5, 10, 20 years. We don't know, but however long it was, it must have been great. Who of us wouldn't like to have their mom or their dad, their opa, oma, or child back again for just a day, a week, much less a couple of years, right? But for all these except Jesus, the families had to see him die again, had to see him grieve again, had to go through the pain of losing them again, funeral plans again, services again, weeping and mourning again and again. And all because these were mortal, earthly resurrections. But not so with Jesus. For in Christ's miraculous resurrection, Not only was he physically raised, but he was eternally raised, which means he would never die again, for he had conquered not only death, but the source of death, the devil himself. And in doing so, it says Christ himself proclaimed, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live again. And whoever lives and believes in me will never, 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 ever die." Oh. I looked up on Google items that have warranties on them, lifetime, forever warranties on them. And, you know, topping the list are products like Buck Knives, Briggs & Riley Luggage, Cutco Cutlery, Tupperware, Big Green Egg Ceramic Grill, Green Bean Car Batteries, North Face Clothing Products, Redhead Socks, Pampered Chef. All these have these lifetime guarantee warranties. But of all these, all that are advertised as such, there's always some sort of exclusion connected to it. And I get it. It makes sense. You can't use a knife as a hammer, or you can't use a luggage as something to sleep in. I get it. You have to use common sense in order for the warranty to be in effect. But, you know, there's always something. There's always a little catch in there somewhere. You can't transfer the ownership. It's only for your lifetime. And I get all that. That makes sense. So the only thing in all creation that has a never die, fully, eternally guaranteed warranty forever and ever is the resurrection, which is foreshadowed for all who live and die in Christ. So may we anticipate these promises for our loved ones, our friends, and ourselves who live and die in Christ. The power and the strength of God, Almighty God, even over death. Number two, the intimacy of God's love for us, even in death and the resurrection. And finally, the promise that it will last forever and ever. Amen.